Amen. Thank you, Jay. The little book of Ephesians. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, a church that was hurt by the division of Gentile and Jew, a church that was struggling in a community that was predominated by very worldly thinking, a place where he had personally had great difficulty, a riot, in fact. Yet in that little book are some of the greatest descriptions, some of the most lofty ideas about God and Christ and salvation and cross. And that little book is just thick with beautiful, deep, and powerful, moving things about who Christ is, who God is, and what he's done for us in him. Thank you, Jay. We're going to start in Ephesians 1 and go back there in just a moment. We have folks all over this morning. Right now, Lauren is speaking in the Eagle River Church of Christ, Springbrook Road Church in Eagle River. We have nearly 20, you can see this hole right here, we have nearly 20 of our young folks and adults in Seward. They traveled out yesterday morning and spent the night in the Collins' backyard down in Seward and are attending with the congregation down there, took a hike out to the glacier and all the rest of it. So we have folks going all over, and still it's summer and people are out on their own trips. Some have come, some have gone back, some are going again. And I want to thank you for allowing me to have the flexibility to go. I'm leaving this Wednesday, going to Thailand for 2 weeks. You all are a great strength to me in doing that, and I thank you very, very much. It is an honor. It's deeply humbling to be able to go to speak about the Lord anywhere, but especially in a foreign country. We've never put it in the budget, these trips of either Lauren or myself. We do support Lauren with a very small salary, and of course you support me with a salary. But some people have asked about that, and it's been a little confusing. These are not paid-for mission trips. These are things that come out of the general salary you give me anyway. But what an honor it is to go and meet with such a beautiful people. Next weekend, I'm getting to work with a marriage and family seminar, and then after that, I get to travel around the country and speak. Lauren said, doesn't matter what day of the week where you are, the folks will show up and you'll have a lesson. Last time in 18 days, I think I had 23 lessons to teach. It is such a joy to do that. It is such a joy to do that. Recently, an event happened to the congregation that was kind of thrilling. Did you all get to see the Rick and Jake Collins story that came out on the Outdoor Channel? If you haven't been able to see it, Brady put it on the Valley Church Facebook page. I think it's still there and available. It's a high-definition version, and you could live stream and watch it. I guess that's not live streaming. You know what I mean. You can stream it and watch it. But it's a well-told story. It's a powerful story. If you haven't seen it, about 75% of the dialogue is Rick himself speaking. Rick Collins is narrating the thing. When Jake begins to speak at the end, that's when your tears well up. And anyway, it's quite well done. It has mistakes in it. The mistakes are in the details. Jake says when he fell, there wasn't a tree in sight, much less in the forest like they show in the thing, because they couldn't find a safe rocky hillside to film the thing on. He landed in water. He was almost entirely immersed in water, except for just the very top part of his body, until his dad came and found him. So those sorts of details are not shown in the video. They couldn't find any place as bad as what Rick had to take his four-wheeler through, so they showed the best they could. But the substance of the story, of course, narrated by Rick, is accurate, and they were very respectful for how they edited it, except they cut out both of their references to God in prayer and how much they relied on God through that whole ordeal. But still, I recommend that you watch it. Imagine and imagining your brothers going through that. One father told me after seeing it with his family just this past week or so, it really hit him how powerful and how important it is to go out with somebody. He said he's gone hunting alone before, but after seeing that and reminding himself, he had a talk with his children. You don't ever go out. You don't ever hunt alone. You don't ever go out alone. It's way too dangerous. It is way too dangerous. And just the conversations reminded me of when I was a Boy Scout back in Virginia. And we always had, and they still have in the Boy Scouts, the buddy system. And I remember being in the swim area. It was riveted into my head as a boy. You're in the swim area. You're out there swimming. And everybody's got a buddy who has to match you in skill. You know, they have to be able to swim about the same quality. And they'd blow a whistle in indeterminate times while you were swimming, and you had better, within a second or two, be able to grab your buddy's hand and stick it up in the air. And the lifeguard would look out and make sure he sees two hands together. And if he sees one hand over here and some boy over here hurrying across, those two were out of the swim area and sat on the side until they got the concept of buddy system down. It is way too dangerous to go out. It is way too dangerous to go out without your buddy, to be in a situation where problems can come up, where problems can come up and dangers can hit you. Did you listen to what Jay was reading? Did you listen to what Jay was reading? Ephesians chapter 1. The greatness of what God has done in Christ, the power that he's shown in the resurrection of Christ, the seating of Christ at God's right hand in the heavenlies, in the heavenly places. Christ sits with all power and all authority. Christ has dominion. He has put all things, verse 22, in subjection under his feet and gave him over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. The church, you know this. We even talk about the body. We say, the body's meeting. Or we casually use the word body. But we don't think about it. I don't know. We focus on it clearly enough. That we are the body of Christ. The church, which is his body. Boy Scouts use the buddy system. God uses the body system. Huh? Come on. Be with me. Come on. Buddy system, body system. Hey, that's pretty good. I came up with that yesterday. I was going back over my notes and I went, oh, the buddy system and the body system. That works. Thank you. We use the buddy system and to children and to adults who are clear thinking, you don't go anywhere in a dangerous situation without your buddy. In all of scout camping, with our troop here, I've been out with them a few times, they don't go anywhere away from the central part of their camp except by twos. You've got to have your buddy. You going across camp, who are you going with? You always take your buddy with you. Out here, there's real dangers. There are bears that show up at camp. There are cliffs out at camp. There are hornet's nests. There are plenty of reasons. There are plenty of reasons that you don't go out. And you know what? Life is dangerous. We're not supposed to be alone. God has given us a body to be with. I never thought about it this way, but there was an event that happened in my childhood. And because nothing happened, it's not that riveting in my memory. Although I remember it very clearly, it's not traumatic like Rick and Jake's story. We were on the Appalachian Trail. I grew up in Virginia. We're on the Appalachian Trail We're doing the 50-miler patch, which means you got to do 50 miles in so many days, and you have to do some service project along the way. So we're working on the trail. We're clearing brush. We're cutting steps into the side of a sloped area and shoring up where so it doesn't erode. And we're doing all this work. It's a gorgeous day. It's a beautiful day up in the Shenandoah Mountains. And I'm used to having blackberries down in the where I live back in Eastern Virginia, but up there in the mountains, like here, they're raspberry plants. Wow, I'd never seen raspberries growing, you know, right there in front of you. And so it was break time, and I went back to where the big raspberry bush was, because now we can take a break. Took off my hat, I filled it up with raspberries, and my buddy was Jeff Grubb. Jeff lived around the corner from me, where I grew up with my parents, and there was a rock outcropping that looked out over the valley. Beautiful sunny day, big bunch of raspberries, and my buddy there, and we're going to eat raspberries. And I went to jump up like this, up on a rock ledge. And as I was pushing myself up to jump up on this ledge, kind of backwards and sideways, Jeff shoved me. He shoved me. I slipped off the rock. I went back on the trail. Raspberries everywhere. I tumbled to the ground. And I jumped up, irritated. I just lost my raspberries and I'm dirty. And I looked back at Jeff saying, "What was that? What?" I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was, "What are you doing?" kind of an idea. And Jeff was standing back and he pointed to the rock ledge. There were three timber rattlers sunning themselves right where I was going to sit. And the ledge went back like this. There were several more we could see behind them under the rock outcropping. I was about to scoot myself backwards on top of at least three rattlers, rattlesnakes. We were hours and hours from a road, much less from flagging somebody down on that road to go someplace where there was an actual telephone to get emergency help up there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing happened. Scoutmaster roped off that part of the trail with a warning sign, and we left that area alone. The buddy system. It's powerful. I didn't see him myself. The buddy system is powerful and necessary. God was teaching the Ephesians, back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. He has made you saints into a body. Now, a body is something in a place. It is something in a physical connection. But Lauren is just as much part of our... Lauren Penny, who are in Eagle River right now, and the 19 teens and adults who are down in Seward are just as much part of the body as the 180 of us, 150 of us that are sitting here right now. We're all part of the same body. And God has given us a relationship and a connection that's precious in Christ, but also one that needs help and work and cultivating. The same idea is brought to us in Colossians chapter 1. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. God has given us a body system. God has given us a body system that we can help each other and protect each other and lift up each other and care for each other. In Ephesians chapter 4, shortly after where Jay read, you can join me there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The first thing, now come this beautiful list of ones, seven ones. In the list is one God, one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one Spirit, one hope. But the first thing on the list, the first singularity on the list is one body. We are one body. There is one. We are to be a united, singular body. With all humility, because it's not about us, right? It's not about me coming here to get my needs met. It's about me coming here to see how I can serve. It's not about you coming here to be entertained or to have Barry sing the songs you happen to like or somebody say a prayer that's stirring to your heart. The songs I hope you enjoy and lift up your spirit too. And the prayers I hope speak to your heart. And the sermon I hope is useful to you. But it's not about us. It's about us coming and building up and giving health and nurture and strength to the body of Christ. In all humility, there is, verse 4, one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives and gave gifts to men. So in the body, we all have our separate gifts. We're not going to go to Romans 12 or 1 Corinthians 12 to study that today. That's another study. But we all have this part. We all have this important aspect. We're all necessary to the body. Every one of us is important. And I'd like to get a few things out today about what we do in our consideration of these relationships, this group of relationships. In Galatians chapter 6, for the one who sows to his own flesh from the flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, verse 8, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We get two principles from this one. We get two principles about body relationships in this one. The first principle is that our first relationships are here. We especially give ourselves here. So often we think, well, this is my work friends, and these are my neighbor friends, and this is my school friends. And this is my hunting friends, and this is my church friends. Sort of like you've got all these separate, equal groups of people. Well, that's not what the scriptures present to us. The scriptures present to us that we are family. We have a relationship priority here that's exceeds all other relationships, including, if you go back to Jesus' teachings, our own blood family. This relationship in Christ is preeminent over all of the relationships. There's a good reason for that. If you lose a friend at work, they move away, or they go to another job, you move on. something happens at work and people get irritated at each other and you break that relationship. Well, that's sad and that's no fun and that's hard to get along, but you can move on. If a neighbor gets mad at you and won't speak to you anymore and throws his bag of leaves on your side of the lawn, well, then you're blessed because then you can rake up his leaves and serve him. Never mind. But that's sad and that's hard. And what you've lost is a connection and a friend. But you can move on. But if you lose or break a relationship in Christ's body, you're breaking a relationship that's inside of Christ. And that's deadly dangerous. And what so very quickly happens is that somebody decides to leave Christ over that. So often, these pains, these broken relationships, or these weak or missing relationships end up with us leaving Christ. And that's deadly. That trumps any other danger in this world, losing Christ. These relationships exceed all others. The other reason that this relationship is more important than all others is because every other relationship ought to be looking to develop it into this relationship. Those folks you work with, you want to tell them about Christ. The best reason for you to be in that office is not for you to make an income. The best reason for you to be at work is to show them Christ. The best reason for you to be in your neighborhood is not to have a nice house and a quiet place to live for you and your family. The best reason to be there is to show your neighbors Christ and to bring them to Christ and to show them God's word and to show them his church. The best reason to have school friends is to tell them about Christ and show them his love. You see, these relationships right here is not an equal group of relationships to all others. I know folks who would not break an annual event. Can't ever break the whatever event I have with this family, or my hunting buddy and I, we never let this go. We always do that. But we'll break church events and church relationships all the time. It's so important to teach each other and to show our children that this exceeds all other things in an infinitely important way. These relationships in the church are so much more important because there's an eternal life on each side of the relationship. And there are children watching us. And there's encouragement happening to us. You strengthen your marriage. You strengthen your work. You walk in Christ in a loving, serving way. And you touch hundreds that fast. You pull away. You hurt. You take things casually or irreverently. And you can hurt people that quickly. The second thing we learn in Galatians is that you never give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Never quit. Never quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't let go of Christ and don't let go of his body. And that's the saying, the same thing. You let go of the body of Christ, you've let go of Christ. We're very clearly taught in Scripture that when we're brought into Christ, we're added to his church. It's the same thing. You can't follow Christ without being in the church. It's the same thing. Don't quit. Don't give up. Discouragements will come. Pain will come. People will hurt you. People will lie. People will undercut you. People will gossip. We make plenty of mistakes here and whatever congregation you go to. All of us, like CB so clearly says, we all have feet of clay. All of us have a part and a shadowy thing in our lives that we don't want anybody to find out. Oh, I don't want you to know. Don't get too close to me, because if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. Oh, please. Please. You've seen it over and over again. Somebody opens up their life. Do you want to shove them away? I want to wrap your arms around them. Same with you. Same with you. Your insecurities, your weaknesses, your hurts, your strugglings, open up with somebody. They won't shove you away. Not your brother or sister. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. Next, they're sincere. These are our priority relationships. We never quit in doing good, and they're sincere. In 1 Peter chapter 1, since you have in obedience of the truth purified your soul for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. This is sincere. What we're trying to create is authentic relationships, real relationships. Real relationships. I can shake hands and smile as well as the next person. Hey, Jim. How you doing? Nice to see you. See you later. I can shake hands and smile with the best of them. It takes more than that for Jim and I to have a real relationship. It takes time in our living rooms. It takes time with a cup of coffee. It takes time discussing our lives, our laughs, our loves, our hurts. It takes time. It takes sincerity. How are you doing? Well, actually, I'm hurting today. Really? What's going on?
Why?
And you talk about it. Listen to this again. Since you have, look how closely salvation is connected to relationships here. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have, in obedience of the truth, purified your souls, went right from obeying Christ, having forgiveness of sins, for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Sincerity, fervency, authenticity. Be real. Don't put your hands up. Don't put your hands up. Anybody just going through the motions? I'm not. I got a list of weaknesses and problems a mile long, but I'm not faking that I care. I'm not faking my faith. But I have just shown up and gone through the motions. I have just come and sat and looked and wondered how quickly I could leave and get home. How many people do I have to talk to before people are going to think, whatever, and I can just get out the door and go home? I have. Don't go through the motions. If it's hurting at that level, tell somebody. Talk about it. I need some help. I'm just sliding along to get along. So, we have a priority here. We never quit. It's sincere. And then in 1 John 3, little children, verse 18, let us not love with words or truth, with words or tongue, but in deed and truth. These relationships are active. They're not just glad-handing. They're not just casual conversations a couple of times a week. And by the way, we dearly need a lot more time than Sunday morning. Please, we need our relationships to extend. Part of our lunch and part of the reason we have good health here in so many ways is we have lunch together every Sunday. But we also have Bible classes on Sunday that you and I really need. And we get together on Wednesday night, which is more than just Bible class. It's a fellowship time and an encouragement relationship time then too. But we need more than that. The early church got together night after night. Turn off the TV Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday, whatever. Stop what you're doing and give somebody a call. You know, Jesus had 12 close people. He taught hundreds and taught thousands, but he had 12 that were close and 3 that were really close. You need relationships in this body. It's an activity. It's a priority of life. Don't just keep going because we got to hurry through the summer. I got to get back to work. I got to do the next thing. I got to make the next whatever. Slow down and put priority in these relationships.
Well done.
It's active. Call somebody during the week. Build a dozen or so close relationships and rotate them. And, you know, people will come and go. Folks will move on and then grow closer to the next person. Pick people who you don't know well right now. Talk to them. Have lunch with them. Pull them aside. I know asking people to have dinner in their homes, we've done this before. I know that's scary to some folks. There's all sorts of feeling of being judged. There's all sorts of feeling of oh my goodness, I can't possibly serve. There's all sorts of feeling of inadequacy. Relax, put some hot dogs in some hot water and invite somebody over and eat on paper plates. Just relax and enjoy one another. I don't like boiled hot dogs. But I'll eat them with you. I like the black parts on it when you put them on the grill. You know, that gives the hot dog better flavor. But I would love to sit down and eat a boiled hot dog with any one of you, even if you didn't have mustard. You see, our relationships are active. And something powerful happens when you sit in somebody else's house and eat across a table. And finally, they're sacrificial. CB just read for us in 2 Corinthians 8 that the church in Macedonia gave, and then they gave more, and they gave, what's the phrase? Verse of 3. They gave beyond their ability, and then you know what they did? They gave more than they could give. I don't know how you do that. But they gave beyond their ability, according to what Paul said, and then they begged them, begging us with much urging. They gave beyond their ability, and then they begged the apostles with much urging to help support Christians, to help serve their brothers and sisters. They had their priority. They had their activity. They had their prominence. They had their sincerity. And they added sacrifice. These relationships are sacrificial. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about the other person. It's about the other person. It's dangerous out there. You get out into woods, our wildlife, our wild areas, there's injury. There are things we do to ourselves to injure us, and we need a buddy there, like falling off of a cliff. You need somebody there who can go for help while you're hurting. There's dangers, surprise events that happen you do to yourself or that just happen to you, like storms or snakes. And then there's getting lost, like I don't know where I am, and I don't know how to get back. And you need somebody with you to help you solve that dilemma. There's serious dangers, and we need the body system to help us through that. Every person here has been hurt, deeply hurt by church relationships. Every person here has been stepped on or left in the cold or unattended to or gossiped or whatever it is. Every person here has been hurt. And we have much work to do in this. We do have one couple that's hurting right now specifically. Michael and Lori Sawyer are not here this morning because in their relationships with us, they're hurting. So I ask you to call them. Give them your love. Give them your reassurance. Connect with them. The importance of these relationships is paramount. We've got to be attentive to our church relationships. We need to love each other. We need to keep going. Don't just assume. Make the connection. Make the effort. Invite somebody over. Go over and see them. Call them up. Have coffee together. Study the Bible together. This is the reason we have small groups. One of the reasons we have small groups, home groups meeting. We're trying to keep expanding those this fall. And several of us have been talking about how to add a couple this fall and keep them going. We're not giving up on having home groups. Home groups is about developing relationships, having Christian community. is what the church is. Having active Christian community. You do not need to be in a home group to have Christian community, but you need to have Christian community with somebody. You need to be close to somebody, to some group, to some gathering, 3, 4, 6, 10 different people, 12 like Christ chose, to be close to them, to have your connecting, health-giving, protecting, caring Christian community. Whatever your needs are in any way, Christ has them, the answers for you. And if this morning you need to be baptized into Christ, if you've never come in contact with His blood, and never joined His community of saints, never come into His body, we ask you to do that this morning. If you have any other needs that we can help you with, you can come forward and let us know about that. But all of us, let's please add depth and activity and connection to the relationships with one another in the church. Please come forward if we can help while we stand and sing.